Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, as well as Israel's emergency services, as well as the hostages and the injured. And we are at the end of Perek He, chapter 5, and a malach, some kind of a being, a supernatural being, has appeared to Yehoshua. And we talked about the message that the Malach gives to Yehoshua. Is this a message of chizuk, of encouragement, like Radak thinks? Is it a prophecy of what's going to happen as they go to Yericho, according to the Malbim? And according to both Radak and Malbim, it continues in Perek Vav, in chapter 6, with the instructions that Yehoshua gets about what they're supposed to do when they enter, when they attack Yericho. Or is it, as Abarbanel says, it's a message Hashem is sending to make sure that Yehoshua knows victory comes from Hashem. This is the Malach who is doing the fighting. This is the Malach who is victorious. You are not the head of the army. Hashem is the head of the army. And then chapter 6 is going to be a separate experience. But we had one question remaining. Who exactly is this Malach? And this section here really provides us with a lesson in how Hashem's relationship with Yehoshua differs from the relationship with Moshe once we understand who the Malach is. We need to look back into the book of Shmos and two separate occasions when Hashem said that he's going to send a Malach with us. One Malach seems to be good, one Malach seems to be bad. If you take a look in Shmos, chapter 23, sentences 20 to 23, this is in Parshas Mishpatim. After Hashem gives us a whole lot of mitzvos, which are relevant when we set up our civilization in the land of Israel, Hashem then says, I'm going to send a malach before you to conquer your enemies. I'm going to send a malach before you to conquer all of your enemies in the land. And everything seems good. Moshe certainly seems happy. Nobody protests. There's no issue. Then fast forward to Parshas Kisisa. The Jews make the Egel, the golden calf. And there in Shmos chapter 33, after Hashem has already said he's not going to destroy the Jews for creating the Egel, Hashem says to the Jews, I am going to send a Malach before you, and the Malach is going to conquer your enemies in the land. But I am not going. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, I am going to send a malach who is going to lead you. And there the people hear it, and boy, are they upset. Hashem rejects their complaint. You know, you didn't like that, you shouldn't have made a calf. And ultimately, Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, no, I want you to come with us. I don't want the malach to come with us. V'niflinu ani ve'amcha, we should be separate from all the nations of the world, that we should have you with us. So, in Kisisa, Moshe is not happy. The Jews are not happy about the idea of Hashem sending a Malach. So, if having a Malach is bad, like it sounds in Kisisa, then why didn't Moshe protest in Parshas Mishpatim, number one? And number two, why is it a good thing for Yehoshua to have a Malach now? That's one question. Flip it the other way, if having a malach is good, the way it sounds in Mishpatim, then why does Moshe complain in Kisisa? And why? Where has this malach been? Why is this malach only showing up at this point? So, two different views. First, the view of Rashi, and then the view of Ramban, both in commentaries on Chumash, and Rashi also appears in his commentary on Sefer Yehoshua. The way Rashi reads it is that the malach is always a negative. Having the malach means not having direct intervention from Hashem. Of course, in all cases, when a malach acts, it is God acting. Don't kid yourself. However, this idea of having a malach means Hashem is saying, I'm going to cause your success indirectly, but it's not my top priority. It's not my main thing, so to speak. That's the message here. And so that's a negative. We don't want that. And Moshe was unhappy about it. Moshe did not like this idea at all. And that's why he protested against this idea of having a malach. It's been bad all along. And back in Parshas Mishpatim, it was bad. When it was originally told to us, it was bad. It's a warning that the Jews are going to sin and they're going to be distanced. But Moshe didn't complain. True. Moshe didn't complain. Rashi doesn't address that. But that's the idea, is that this was a bad thing from the very beginning, because Hashem will not be as close to us. That's the idea. So that Rashi here in Yehoshua says, Atabasi, when the Malach says, now I have arrived, la'ezrascha, for your assistance. Because a human being wouldn't be able to fight this way. A human being wouldn't be able to take Yericho to knock down the wall. I came originally in Moshe's time. Moshe didn't want me. So now, at last, I am here. That's the way that Rashi explains it. And Rashi, on Pasuk Tesvav, Perek Hei Tesvav, chapter 5, sentence 15, actually names the Malach. He says this Malach is Michael. And he references a pasuk in Daniel Perek Yud, Daniel chapter 10, sentence 21, Michael Sarchem, Michael, your officer, your angel up in the heavens. What in the world is that about? So there is this concept that each of the 70 ethnicities has a Malach representing it up in Shamayim. The idea is that a nation exists not just as a group of people within a set of boundaries, but rather a nation exists as a construct, as an ideology. And in fact, the human beings who are part of that nation on earth are only one manifestation of that construct. So Plishtim are not only people who are called Plishtim who live in Gaza. Plishtim are an idea beyond that. They are a celestial being as well. If you think of the Medrash in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, which talks about how Hashem offered the Torah to different groups, and they, we're told that they rejected it, this one because it says don't kill, this one says it says don't steal. So Hashem is, the Gemara is saying that Hashem is saying that the Torah was incompatible with their identities, with that construct overall. So the idea here is that we have some Malach who is part of our construct. I should note, Abarbanel and Daniel does not think that Jews have such a representative. The nations of the world each do, but we don't. Nonetheless, if you look at Daniel, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, you can see for yourself the idea that in fact Michael is our representative. And that's what Rashi channels here to say, that's who the Malach is. This is a bad thing. It indicates a distancing from Hashem because Hashem is not helping us as directly as before. And it happened as a consequence of our sins. Yes, Moshe did not complain initially. Moshe did complain after the Egel. And Hashem said, fine, I'm not going to send right now. However, he's coming back. And he comes back in the time of Yehoshua. That's all one school of thought. Ramban disagrees. Ramban says, on Chumash, the Malach is good, just not necessary, while they have a Moshe. The Malach isn't needed for us. And then he says something really, really remarkable. He says, you know, you have this pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov describes HaMalach HaGoelo Simi Kol Ra, the Malach who saved me from all bad. So Ramban says, that's the Malach. Valderech HaEmes, he says, on the path of truth, Hamalach Hazeh, meaning the layer of interpretation that is truth, Hamalach Hazeh Shehuvtechu Bo Bekan, the Malach, they are promised here, Hu Hamalach HaGoel, Asher Hashem HaGadol Bekirbo. This is the redeeming Malach that has Hashem's name in its midst. That's really remarkable. We now have a major arc for this Malach, right? Yaakov knows this Malach who saves him from all trouble. Moshe knows this Malach as well, and Yehoshua knows the Malach. So that means the Malach was there for the Jews when we were in Israel, back in the days of Yaakov. It went with us. It was with us when we were in the Midbar, and now we come back to Israel and we have the Malach again. According to Ramban's read, Moshe was not upset about this Malach. He was upset because he thought it's going to be Malach and not Hashem. He wanted Hashem there as well. He didn't want to have just a Malach. And so Hashem said, you know what? It'll be me and that'll be good. And the Malach was never intended, according to Ramban, to be during Moshe's time. Ramban writes on Shmos, chapter 23, sentence 20, Kol Yimei Moshe lo haya Malach Sar Tzava Holech Imahem. All through Moshe's time, the Malach, this leader of God's forces, didn't go with them. Ki Moshe haya Mamalei Mekomo. Moshe took the place of the Malach. That was Moshe's job. Like with the war with Amalek, he says, Moshe raises up his hands and Israel triumphs. However, now in Yoshua's time, we need the help of this Malach because we don't have a Moshe. So in Ramban's view, the Malach is good. It's unnecessary during Moshe's time. And now it becomes necessary. Either way, whether I take Rashi's read that this Malach was actually a bad thing, a replacement for the divine presence and a step down for us, which is why Moshe didn't like it, but now we're going to have it, or whether I take Ramban's view that the Malach is good, just not necessary while they had Moshe. Either way, for Yehoshua, having the Malach is on the one hand a positive sign of Hashem's aid, but on the other hand, it's a reminder, you're not Moshe, right? Either because Moshe didn't want it, as Rashi says, or per Ramban, Moshe didn't need it. Either way. So to summarize what we've said in this chapter, what a chapter. The Jews are no longer the product of Egypt or even of the Midbar, right? We are willing to have this national bris milah without being afraid that the enemy is going to attack us. We remove our identity as Egyptians with the bris milah and the Korban Pesach. We connect with our roots, going back to being like Avraham and Sarah in Israel as we do the bris milah. We eat the Israeli grain. And if we take the view that this was the 16th of Nisan and they had the new grain, then we fulfilled mitzvos hatzlios ba'aretz, the mitzvos of the land. And then we prepare for Yericha with a malach. And the Malach is meant to convey a message of chizuk, of strengthening us, a prophecy about how we're going to win, or a message that Hashem is going to do the fighting for us, all of which is good, but it's also a reminder that Yehoshua is not Moshe. So what we have to go from here is going to be the beginning of Perek Vav, chapter 6, and we are going to find out that Yericho is sogeret umisugeret. It is a fortress, closed up. No one leaves, no one enters, as Radak says. Or sogeret umisugeret just means really closed up. But they are frightened of the Jews who are about to attack.